Chapter 18. Lucy.
Now ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street. I ask you confidentially, ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice. I ask you confidentially, ain't she nice?
Talented, cute, sassy, and amusing, Lucy loved men. She especially loved cowboys, and the cowboys loved Lucy. She didn't see her profession as work. She saw it as fun. A wonderful dancer and always learning the new songs on the hit parade, Lucy was the life of the party. In her spare time, Lucy loved to be outside with her watercolors, painting landscapes of the Concho River, a West Texas sunset, or a group of prickly pear with colorful blossoms. Smiling and bubbly, Lucy was a joy to be around. Her heart burst with love, yet she spoke exactly what was on her mind. A friend to all, Lucy enjoyed a good time. This is Lucy's story. Lucy Armstrong had grown up in the Houston Heights, a streetcar suburb close to Houston, Texas. Her family lived in a Victorian home on Nicholson Street. Lucy had four older sisters. Before she was born, Lucy's mother had lost a baby boy who had died in his sleep when he was only 3 months old. The baby's death put Mrs. Armstrong and her husband into a deep depression. Her husband, who had wished for sons, considered Lucy a huge disappointment, and even Mrs. Armstrong felt as though she had failed him. She resented baby Lucy. Except for nursing her, she gave her hardly any attention. Mary was the family housekeeper and was never able to have children of her own. When her husband died, she began working for the Armstrong family. Mrs. Armstrong, pregnant with Lucy at the time, had been adamant about wanting a boy. It had saddened Mary to see how Mrs. Armstrong had resented her new baby girl. One night, awakened by Lucy's crying, Mary had gone into the nursery to find her mother completely ignoring her. That was the night Lucy became Mary's baby. She had sung to her and rocked her to sleep as if she were her own. Since Lucy had only brought Mrs. Armstrong distress, she was fine with Mary taking over Lucy's needs. Her mother preferred spending time with the older girls and paid virtually no attention to little Lucy. On the outside, the Armstrongs had appeared to be the perfect family. Lucy's parents had raised their children right, at least as far as they were concerned. Every Sunday, the family had attended church, scrubbed, and clean. The girls had worn matching hats and the same color dresses, tights, and shoes. They had been taught good manners, and their mother had made sure all of her girls behaved like ladies. Each girl had her own porcelain doll, and the nursery was filled with toys. Lucy's sisters were mean to her. They had learned to ignore her from their mother. Lucy really didn't notice. She had Mary and had learned to be content playing in her own little world. Lucy didn't really know her father. He didn't interact with his girls and showed them no affection. Mary continued to love little Lucy and gave her the attention her mother withheld from her. When Lucy was 4 years old, she caused a commotion in her Sunday school when she proudly displayed her new bloomers to the class. Embarrassed, her mother began labeling Lucy the trouble child. If there were mud tracks on the floor or something was broken in the Armstrong household, Lucy was probably the culprit. When Lucy was 5, Mrs. Armstrong gave birth to a healthy baby boy. Little Matthew became the center of attention for the entire household. The older girls played with him and fought over who could hold him. Lucy became lost in the excitement of the new baby. If it hadn't been for Mary, Lucy would have no attention at all. Lucy was obviously different from her sisters and sometimes even lived up to being the troubled child. Mary only saw her as having a strong spirit and willing to take risks. She often told Lucy,
"Honey, people who don't make mistakes aren't trying very hard."
Mary saw Lucy as an untamed spirit, much like a young horse riding free across grassy plains, and did what she could to prevent her ward from becoming discouraged. As Lucy got older, Mary did her best to hide any evidence when Lucy had messed up and made every attempt to protect her from trouble. One day when Lucy was in the second grade, she brought a note home.
"Dear Mrs. Armstrong, we find it best to inform you that we gave Lucy 3 swats at school today for talking in class."
It would be the first of many.
Lucy was running down the hall. Lucy hit Josephine's notebook. Lucy tore up Monica's picture.
Although Lucy had a perfectly good explanation, her mother seldom took her side and often sent her to bed without supper. Mary would sneak food to Lucy, her heart breaking when her favorite little girl got into trouble. Mary was the only person who listened to Lucy when she tried to explain why she did what she did. For example, she told Mary that the reason she had been running in the hall was to tell the teacher that her friend had fallen and hurt herself. She had hidden Josephine's notebook because Josephine had taken her crayons and wouldn't give them back. She had torn up Monica's picture because Monica had used a black crayon to scribble all over hers. By now, even the teachers labeled Lucy the trouble child. She was always the one who got the swats.
"Don't let them break your spirit, Lucy. You are a precious child of God. Never forget that."
One day when Lucy was 10, Mary noticed her walking slowly and carefully when she came home from school. She could hardly sit down.
"What's the matter with you, Lucy?"
"My teacher hurt me, Mary. Please don't tell Mother."
"Let's go up to your room and let me take a look at that."
To her horror, Mary saw 6 huge welts on Lucy's backside. 2 of them were oozing blood.
"My Lord, child, what did those monsters do to my sweet baby?"
Mary brought out ointment and bandages from the first aid cabinet and gently tended to Lucy's wounds.
"Lucy, I believe I need to tell your mother about this."
"No, Mary, please don't. You know how angry she gets. Mother will send me to bed without supper if you do."
Mary's heart was breaking.
"What in the world happened to make them do this to you?"
"Agnes Foster was being mean to my friend Linda. She told her she couldn't be in her stupid club because Agnes's mother said Linda's mother is nothing but a whore. I don't know what a whore is, but it must be something bad because it made Linda cry. I grabbed both her pigtails and threw her on the ground. Her dress got real dirty. Then she started crying like a big baby and ran and told the teacher."
"That's my Lucy. Lucy girl, I love you."
"What's a whore, Mary?"
"You're right, honey. It's not a nice word, and you should never say it again. It's a bad name for a woman who is nice to men."
Mary helped Lucy put on a clean dress. Just then, the doorbell rang.
"I'll be back in a minute, baby."
Mary saw a scowling woman and a girl about Lucy's age with long brown pigtails standing on the front porch. The girl had the same kind of pinched-up look on her face as her mother.
"I am here to see Mrs. Armstrong. My name is Mrs. John Foster, and this is my daughter, Agnes."
Mary could feel herself boiling, but she kept her cool.
"Yes, ma'am. You can wait in the parlor."
When Mrs. Armstrong came into the parlor, she instantly knew the root of this visit had to be Lucy. It was always Lucy.
"Yes, may I help you?"
"Lucy assaulted my poor little Agnes today, and your daughter needs to apologize and be punished."
"Just a minute, please. Mary, please go upstairs and bring Lucy in here to me."
Mary went upstairs and found Lucy.
"Agnes Foster and her ugly mama are downstairs, honey. Now keep your temper. Be nice and just listen. Don't talk unless you are spoken to. And whatever you do, just say you're sorry.
But I'm not sorry, Mary. I'm not sorry. She's a mean girl.
Just do what I say, Lucy. Just do what I say.
When Lucy and Mary entered the room, the two mothers were talking. Agnes had a nasty smirk on her face, and Mary saw her stick her tongue out at Lucy.
Her dress was filthy when she came home. Lucy owes my daughter an apology.
Lucy, apologize to Agnes.
No!
See, Mama, I told you she was mean and rude.
Lucy, apologize now, young lady.
Mary nodded at Lucy, and Lucy crossed her fingers behind her back.
I'm sorry, Agnes.
I assure you, she will be punished. This will not happen again.
Agnes threw Lucy one last smirk as she and her mother left the Armstrong home.
Lucy, what in the world were you thinking?
Pardon me, Miss Armstrong, but Lucy has already been punished.
What do you mean?
The teacher hit me with a cane, Mother.
I don't believe you. Let me see.
I've already dressed the wounds, ma'am.
What? Why wasn't I told? Let me see.
Mrs. Armstrong unbuttoned the back of Lucy's dress and saw the huge welts on her back.
Oh, my.
Without blinking an eye, she straightened up and raised her nose.
You deserved it, Lucy. You certainly deserved it. Mary, do not set a place for Lucy this evening. I can't bear to even look at her.
Mrs. Armstrong turned and left the room. With warm, salty tears running down her face, Mary buttoned Lucy's dress.
I'm so sorry, Lucy. Try to stay out of trouble. It hurts my heart to see you hurt, baby girl.
Lucy hugged her favorite person in the world.
I love you, Mary. I know you love me, too. I don't like to see you cry, Mary. I will try to be better. I promise.
After the incident at school, Lucy and Linda became best friends. Although Lucy remained feisty, being friends with Linda helped her to stay out of trouble. Linda had long, dark auburn hair. One day, while sitting on a bench at the park, they saw a beautiful red cardinal land on a bush close to where they were.
What a pretty red bird.
You're pretty too, Linda. I'm going to call you Redbird from now on.
Lucy and Linda spent many days together, and for once in her life, Lucy didn't feel like an outcast. She came home and told Mary all about her friend Redbird, and that made Mary happy. At their all-girls school, Agnes and a group of friends enjoyed thinking they were better than anyone else. Thinking themselves as the elite of the school, they made life miserable for the other girls. Lucy and Linda were friendly to everyone and made it their personal mission to rescue girls who had been mistreated by Agnes Foster and her group. On Linda's 12th birthday, Lucy had painted her a beautiful watercolor of a red cardinal on a branch. On the bottom right corner in calligraphy, she had written,
"To Redbird, my very best friend. Love, Lucy."
Lucy had spent all week working on Linda's present, making it just right. To her great disappointment, Linda was absent from school that day. She was absent the following week as well. When she did return, Linda acted tired and looked sad.
What happened?
My mother left us, Lucy. My brothers cry themselves to sleep every night. She moved to New York with some man, and my father is so sad. I'm worried about him, Lucy.
Agnes Foster and her pack of she-wolves sauntered over to where Lucy and Linda were standing.
Heard your whore mother moved to New York with a handsome rich stud.
Feeling her friend boiling, Linda grabbed Lucy's arm. She didn't want Lucy to get into trouble. It was all Lucy could do not to pull Agnes down on the ground again.
You're gonna be just like her. Everyone knows girls like you end up just like their mothers.
Then I guess you're gonna be an ugly, gossipy, nasty old hen. Cluck, 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 cluck.
Linda held Lucy's arm even more tightly. She knew Lucy could whip Agnes, and she was afraid of the consequences. Agnes was livid. Lucy was delighted she had made Agnes angry.
I'll get you, Lucy Armstrong. One day I'll get you good.
As Lucy got older, she became more rebellious, the opposite of her mother's vision for her. People referred to her as the black sheep of the family. Lucy made some effort to conform to the rules of charm school where Mrs. Armstrong sent all her daughters. However, the la-di-da attitude of being ladylike, Lucy found boring and trite. Lucy found a new world in painting, working with watercolors. She proudly showed each finished work to Mary.
Oh, yes, Lucy girl. You are an artist and a good one. I can see your spirit in these paintings. The colors are bright and cheerful, and your lines are strong and bold, just like you are.
Every year, Lucy's sisters attended the cotillion ball, and Mrs. Armstrong always had a coming-out party for each of her daughters. Lucy's junior year in high school should have been her year. Although Mrs. Armstrong allowed Lucy to attend the cotillion, she had decided not to host a coming-out party for her because she felt Lucy would embarrass the family. Although Mary was upset, Lucy was all right with it. She thought the whole thing was silly and overrated anyway.
You are a beautiful young lady. If I were your mother...
You are my mama, Mary. You always have been. I don't need a stupid party to prove I'm worthy to date some snobby man from a rich family.
On the night of the cotillion, the girls were dressed in their white gowns. Lucy wore a hand-me-down dress from her older sister. As Mary helped her get ready, she felt proud.
You are gorgeous, Lucy. So pretty. You will be the belle of the ball.
Linda and Lucy were by far among the prettiest girls at the dance. Of course, Agnes Foster and her pack of she-wolves were also there. Although the girls had managed to avoid each other over the years, they remained mortal enemies. This night, Agnes aimed to wreak her revenge on Lucy. Agnes's friends were in on it. The revenge had been planned for weeks. They were going to ensure that Lucy be thrown out of the cotillion. Having slipped sleeping powder into a glass of punch, Agnes brazenly marched over to Douglas Brown, a skinny kid with big teeth and glasses.
Lucy Armstrong has a big crush on you. She talks about you all the time. Take this over to her and talk to her. She's over there with that red-headed girl.
Poor, unsuspecting Douglas Brown eagerly walked over to where the girls were standing and presented Lucy with the glass.
Hello, Lucy. Would you like some punch?
Sure, Douglas.
Would you like to dance?
I'd love to, Douglas.
Agnes and her pack of she-wolves watched as Lucy took a sip and then another. Lucy put the drink down and Douglas Brown escorted her onto the dance floor. In the meantime, Agnes quickly disposed of the glass of punch. In the middle of the dance, Lucy told Douglas that she was feeling dizzy and needed to sit down. The room started spinning and Lucy could hardly breathe. From across the room, Linda saw her friend stagger and quickly ran over and sat down beside her.
Lucy? Lucy, what's wrong?
I don't know, Linda. I feel so dizzy.
We hear you have been drinking, young lady, and you are intoxicated. You'll have to leave. We've called you a cab.
What? She hasn't been Oh, no.
Linda looked up and saw Agnes and her friends laughing hysterically and suddenly knew what had happened. She looked at the chaperones.
I'll go with her.
Linda and the cab driver stood at the door, propping Lucy up when they rang the doorbell at the Armstrongs' home. Mary helped Lucy onto the sofa where her mother found her. She was mortified.
What in the world happened?
Agnes Foster put something in her drink. I know she did. Agnes told the chaperones that Lucy was drunk.
Mary brought a cold wash rag and laid it on Lucy's forehead.
This girl is trouble. She's always been trouble. I'm finished with her.
Lucy's mother stormed and stomped out of the room. The next day, Lucy's mother called her sister in San Angelo, Texas, and made plans for Lucy to stay with her. Linda and Mary were both heartbroken. Before Lucy left, she saw Agnes one more time. She knew Agnes had a big crush on Mark Donahue, the captain of the football team, and wrote her a note that read,
"Dearest Agnes, I just have to see you. Meet me at the lake by the big rock tonight at 7. I'll be waiting. All my love, Mark Donahue."
Agnes showed up like Lucy knew she would. When Lucy surprised Agnes at the rendezvous site, Agnes looked at her fearfully.
"You're not so brave without your she-pack, are you, Agnes? I want you to know, not today, and maybe not tomorrow, but someday, I assure you, you're going to pay for the mean things you've done to me, Linda, and everyone else you've hurt. Keep looking over your shoulder, Agnes, 'cause I swear one day I'll be there."
That night, Lucy went to Linda's house to say goodbye.
"I wish you could have been there, Linda. You should have seen her face. It was fantastic. She ran away screaming. I think I really scared her."
Linda was sad.
"What am I going to do without my best friend?"
"We'll figure it out. I'll see you again, Redbird. I promise."
The next day, after a tearful goodbye with Mary, Lucy boarded a train to start her new life in San Angelo, Texas.
"Just cast an eye, why in her direction. Only, oh my, that's a question. I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? I ask you confidentially, ain't she sweet?